Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. WGTD is also supported by Carthage College, dedicated to combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation, designed to allow students to uncover and ignite their potential. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities at carthage.edu. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. That, of course, is one of the all-time great classic songs, Hello, My Baby. We're starting the morning show with it because it is also the title song, as it were, of a terrific musical revue called Hello, My Baby, which was produced to great acclaim in Kenosha earlier this year and is being remounted in anticipation of a journey to a national convention in Nebraska. And what is really exciting about these two performances coming up tomorrow night and Thursday night here in Kenosha is that in town to help polish up this remounting of this colorful and energetic production is part of the creative team that created this wonderful show. Sherry Steinkellner is her name, and she has a trophy case full of awards. She and her husband, Bill, very, very talented writers who, among other things, earned Emmy Awards for the TV series Cheers, two Golden Globe Awards. They are particularly well known for adapting the film Sister Act into a sparkling Broadway musical, which was nominated for Tonys. And she has done a lot of work with young people as well. And so she embraces this opportunity to come to Kenosha and work with these talented young singers, I think, wholeheartedly. And we're looking forward to finding out a little bit more about this experience as well. Joining us actually in the studio, two of the talented cast members for this Kenosha production of Hello, My Baby, Haley Wolf and Colin Robertson. We're glad that both of you can be here as well. And Sherry Steinkellner, a very special welcome to you.
Thank you, Greg.
Good to have all of you here. So Sherry Steinkellner, tell us the circumstances under which you were brought to little old Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Well, Music Theater International, which is the licensing company that licenses probably most of the musicals you see here in Kenosha or on the Great White Way, had their offices in New York City. I was arranging to do Hello, My Baby through Music Theater International, and they said, let's do a pilot program at one of our very favorite high schools with one of our very favorite high school teachers right in the middle of the country and see how it plays. So a year ago last November, we came out and did our very first high school production of Hello, My Baby with Holly Stanfield at Bradford High School directing. It was so much fun. It was so successful that this year MTI wanted to give it a big rollout for all the high schools across the country and actually internationally. And they said, let's see if we can go back to Kenosha and do what we did last time, even better, and take it to the International Thespian Festival to expose it to all of these kids from all over.
Mm. So this is your second time in Kenosha then, and a reunion of sorts, probably, with a lot of these students.
Yes, it is.
Super. Tell us a little bit about the creation of this particular show. I mean, it's one of a number of things that you and or your husband have created. What were the circumstances under which this show came together?
It's a great question. I was directing a middle school production of Anything Goes.
With your daughter in the cast.
With my daughter in the cast. That's how I come back to theater. What I do for money is theater and television. What I do for love is school theater. And my daughter was in the eighth grade, and all of her friends wanted to do a musical, and the music teacher and I in Santa Barbara, California, said, let's give them a little taste of Cole Porter, see how they like it. And they loved it. And I was so excited by this opportunity to introduce young people to old songs that they otherwise probably wouldn't be exposed to. And the music, like you said, came to sparkling life when sung as if it's being sung for the first time. And so at the time, I was working with Alan Menken, who also wrote Little Mermaid, on the musical Sister Act. And I said, what would you think of this idea of taking these old songs, some of them are 100 years old or more, and reorchestrating them, rebooting them, mashing them up into something brand new for young and old audiences? And he was 100% supportive, and I felt that imprimatur was just huge. And so I looked at all these old songs, I'm Always Chasing Rainbows, and You Made Me Love You, and Ain't We Got Fun, and they were all in the public domain. And what that meant, like Shakespeare, Gilbert and Sullivan we use in the show too, was that I could adapt the songs very respectfully so that they help us tell the story. In other words, we're not just dropping these songs into a play. The songs tell the story. And it's been just probably the most fun experience of my theatrical life, doing this here with these guys.
So the very first performance of this was where?
On the campus at Vassar College. It was the Powerhouse, New York Stage and Film Powerhouse Festival, and we just put the script and the songs in the hands and mouths of the interns there, and they ran with it. It was so much fun.
I read someplace that that the first performances were in a developmental staging, at the Village Theater.
The Village, yes, and at Goodspeed in Connecticut. A developmental staging means you've got script in hand, no sets, no costumes. You're just hearing the words and the notes.
So that was at the very beginning, trying to sort of shape it into a show.
Exactly.
So this meeting that took place in New York City then, which ultimately involved this trip to Kenosha, remind us of what that meeting was about. What was the decision that somebody was trying to decide to do in terms of just releasing this to the nation?
Yes. I had and still have this, we'll call it a dream, of really just making this musical that families can enjoy together, that you can bring your teens and your grandparents to, and everybody is going to have a really happy, funny, romantic experience.
Well, let's talk with our two young people who are also in the room, who are part of the cast for Hello, My Baby. And were you both in the production back in the fall as well?
I was. She wasn't.
I was not. This is my first time.
Oh, in the fall? Yes, the fall, but last year it was just me.
So
we've had two fall productions.
Oh, I guess I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. The one we did this fall was the audition.
Pull it a little closer.
Okay. The one we did this fall was the audition for the International Thespian Festival.
Gotcha.
And last year we took it to the State Theater Festival.
Gotcha.
We took it to State this year too, but the whole thing instead of a one act.
Right. So Colin, so you've been part of this from the very first production here in Kenosha, and I happen to know that you are head over heels in love with very contemporary musical theater. And that's,
true.
You know, when you roll out of bed, that's the thing you want to sing more than anything.
True.
So what was it like for you to be confronted with a show like this, which is not at all like that?
It was really cool to get to, first of all, find the older music, just to listen to it and kind of base technique off of that. Like, I based a lot of what I was singing for Only Girl off of Dean Martin's version, actually, because it was really smooth and silky and romantic, and I liked the way he sang it. So I got to listen to Dean Martin singing that. I found Stairway to Paradise from the American in Paris movie. So I just got to... It was cool to listen to different things and to take the really kind of contemporary voice that I have and kind of try to push it more classical by just, like, listening to all these different people from older times and how they sing and just trying to make it fit but not sound fake. I didn't want it to sound like I'm trying to sing classical, so that's what's going to come out, you know?
Right, right. Well, that is a good growing and stretching experience. Sounds like you've enjoyed that. Haley, what about you? Did you know very much about this going in? How did you come to be a part of this?
Well, I saw it when they did it 2 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, I think that's what it is now. And I remember walking out and thinking it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So it was super cool to get to do it again, because all of the old music, that's obviously not what I listen to now. So it was super cool to be able to hear that and also be able to share that to all the people at the State Festival and all the people who are going to be at the International Thespian Festival. And it's just awesome to get to share different types of music that we definitely don't hear all the time.
Very good. Sherry Steinkellner, you need to explain the wonderful story. I don't know if you want to give away every surprise. You probably don't. But, I mean, it's a really wonderful storyline that you've created to which these songs are so nicely wed. Tell our listeners whatever you want about the storyline, the essential storyline of Hello, My Baby.
Well, you start off with a song plugger, which is a person back 100 years ago who would sell songs. Sheet music back then was the kind of the newest thing, so that people could play it on their pianos at home or in a music hall. And these guys, like newsies, would hawk their songs on the street, anywhere where people would listen. I thought, that's a great idea for a lead in a musical, because he sings for a reason. So you got this music... The song plugger, Mickey McKee. You've got a bunch of gangsters. The gangs of New York were really dominating the streets at that time. We've got debutantes and we've got factory workers. It really is like ragtime, but from a teen perspective. So it's filled with the optimism and the hope and the we can do anything spirit. You've got this character who's a song plugger, Mickey McKee, who dreams of writing songs that people will sing 100 years later. The trouble is he cannot write a note of music.
So, yeah, we should explain this. A song plugger hawks songs, but not necessarily, in fact, typically not their own, or often not their own songs.
Exactly. He's selling somebody else's songs, and he dreams of writing his own, but he can't write music. And that was based on Irving Berlin, who could write who could imagine the catchiest of tunes, but really wasn't adept at playing them. So Mickey needs somebody in his life. And he meets this factory girl, Betty Gold, who happens to be a musical demon. And together they become this amazing songwriting team right off the bat. But then circumstances prevail to turn this into what we call a trouser comedy, what they've been calling a trouser comedy since pre-Shakespeare.
Right.
Where a girl has to put on pants to go out and do a guy's work because she can earn more money and show him how it's done. And so Betty Gold puts on the trousers that she used to sew in the factory and becomes Buddy O'Reilly, who turns out to be Mickey McKee's arch rival. So when she's Betty, she's his true love. When she's Buddy, she's his arch rival. And complications ensue where he comes to believe that Betty and Buddy are in love with each other and cuckolding him. And it gets kind of crazy with Betty and Buddy having to figure out who he, she, we are in this world. It's contemporary themes and eternal themes.
Very good. Let's hear from each of you about your particular characters that you play. I mean, and your thoughts about them. Haley.
I play Betty Gold and Buddy O'Reilly, which is the girl who turns into the boy. And she's a very bold girl who is not afraid to tell you what she thinks. And she is very persistent, and she will do what she can until she gets her way. That's why she goes out, becomes a man, so she can do just what the boys are doing, because she wants to sell this music that she works so hard on. And through the show, you just see her progressively build and fall, and she also has rises, and it's super cool.
Yeah, neat. Colin.
I play Junior Tierney, who kind of gets to be the one who brings kind of the bad energy down towards everyone else, because I think I'm doing a good thing. I'm trying to help them and fix their tenements, but really I'm just making it so they have to move out. I'm raising their rent. I'm just messing everything up for them, and I don't even realize it. I'm trying to do good by them. And because I've been so sheltered, I went to Yale for college. I went to preparatory schools my whole life. I never got to experience the real world, so my idea of helping is different from their idea of helping. So I'm not trying to do anything bad. I'm trying to do something good, but because I'm so sheltered, I end up messing up things. But then he gets a taste of the real world, and he adjusts what he thinks and what he does, and he helps line it up with what other people think, and he ends up being a force for good.
Mm. So kind of a complicated bad guy. We don't even call him the bad guy or the villain exactly, although...
My family is more the bad guy. It's more my grandfather is the bad guy. I just kind of do what he says at first, and then I realize this isn't right.
See the light.
Yeah.
Grandson falls in love with Betty's sister on the wrong side of the tracks, and grandfather doesn't like that for many, many reasons.
Hmm. One thing that's interesting to me is that this is a relatively intricate story. And I read in a recent interview that you did with someone when you kind of listed a number of your kind of tenets or basic principles by which you put together your shows. And one of them is simplify. The audience needs to know where they are, who they are with, and why. And I think that's really interesting because that's probably something that a lot of people that put shows together don't remember or don't do a good job of remembering and put on the stage overly complex shows that are really kind of hard to follow. And somehow you've managed to put together a show that's relatively intricate, and yet it really seems to have powerful impact on audiences. I mean, what would you say is the secret to getting just complex enough so it's interesting without getting so complex that it becomes kind of complicated and hard to follow?
Really excellent question. I've got to think for 1 second. I think that's a great question. You know, we have become such sophisticated storytellers and story receivers. These guys have grown up hearing stories that are really multi-layered and have so many plot twists and turns. Hmm. For a comedy, you want to always be very clear, but you always want to be surprising us and kind of pulling the unexpected and making a new connection. So it's been a process with Hello, My Baby of figuring out how to unpack the information so that we're receiving it in a way that it feels both familiar, because that makes it warm and comfy, and also surprising, like, whoa, I didn't think they were going to go there. I think that it's trial and error, Greg.
Hmm. I want to ask you, I know we're here to talk about Hello, My Baby, but I'm just curious if you can just say a word about how different it is to put together a whole show like Sister Act or Hello, My Baby versus all of the writing you did for years and years and years and years for a number of different television shows, but including most notably the award-winning Cheers. How different does the task feel, crafting what amounts to 22 minutes or 23 minutes of comedy for an episode of Cheers versus a musical with Act 1 and Act 2, maybe Act 3? I mean, kind of a more sprawling canvas. Does it feel like an entirely different kind of writing, or very much the same thing, just within certain constraints?
That's a really good question, too. Writing is writing. Storytelling is storytelling. You want to introduce, like you said earlier, characters, plot, complications, resolution, all that good stuff. I think the difference comes in production. With a television production, we are doing, as you said, a 22 to 26 minute episode. We're doing it each week, so we're always in some phase of production, and that's complicated in itself. But with a musical, you're working on one thing for a great, huge period of time, and there are a lot more moving parts, because we've got an orchestra, and choreography, and the costuming, and all of that. has to, at a certain point, take precedent, and the storyteller has to sit back and say, okay, I've told my story. Now everybody else tell your story through dance, through music, in your acting. And so the process itself is a different one. I love them both. With Cheers, we were doing a live performance in front of a studio audience each week. So that part of it where the actors and the audience get to have this conversation, where they get to communicate with each other. When the audience laughs, the actors perk up. You know, it really, they feed each other very, very much. That part of it is the same.
Super. That's great. I wonder if you could say a word about your role here in Kenosha with the first time you came and this time now. What is the role that you're exactly playing?
The first time I came out, I was a supportive, loving mother of this baby. And Holly Stanfield was directing this wonderful production at Bradford High School that Colin appeared in. And the second time I came out, Holly was already engaged to direct a Little Mermaid. Hmm. And so I came out as director, as mother director this last time. And it's been really fun.
Cool. So is that, so this time you're actually, is that what you're referring
yes,
to?
Yes, I've directed this production.
So you are the director then.
Yes.
So I, as I promoted this interview or talked about it, I've talked about you polishing up a production, and it's maybe not, maybe it's more than that, in that maybe you've even made some changes and so on.
We have, yes. One of the songs in Hello My Baby is There'll Be Some Changes Made, and we live by that daily. We are making changes as we speak, and these guys know it well, and they've been fantastic rolling it with it. But anybody who saw Hello My Baby at Bradford this year or last year is going to see a new show yet again.
Very good. I want to play a little bit of the show, and I wish technical matters allowed us to play, you know, the samples that you actually have of the cast. I'm just drawing off of YouTube highlights from Hello My Baby from Goodspeed's Tin Pan Alley musical. So this is a production done back in 2011, it looks like, at a house in Chester, Connecticut. And so with your kind permission, I want to play just a few moments from this to give our listeners at least something of a taste of what this show is like. Again, this is a few highlights from the show Hello My Baby.
Johnny,
some highlights from Hello, My Baby. And with us in the studio today is one of the creators of this wonderful musical, Sherry Steinkellner. And with us, two of the students who are in the cast, Colin Robertson and Haley Wolf. There are performances here in Kenosha tomorrow night and Thursday night. And where are those performances?
Indian Trail.
Indian Trails High School. And then Friday and Saturday night, performances of The Little Mermaid. And both of these shows are going to Nebraska, Lincoln, Nebraska, to the International Thespian Festival. So, Sherry Steinkellner, you were telling us the story about being a director for your daughter's middle school production of Anything Goes. And it sounds like that kind of kicked off something of a love affair that you have with working with young people. Tell us a little more about what the difference is between working with students like Haley and Colin versus working with full-fledged professionals out in the professional world. What is it that gives you such satisfaction in this kind of setting?
Well, if I told the whole story, I'd get in trouble with the professionals in the real world because these guys work so hard and so are, have such commitment and such constancy, and I can throw anything at them at any time and they'll say, give me more, bring it on. And I just love that. I love what Colin said earlier about digging into Dean Martin and American in Paris, finding these new flavors that they wouldn't have otherwise been exposed to. It's very, very rewarding to connect dots. And with these guys, there are so many dots available for connection.
Hmm. Has it been intimidating, the two of you, to work with the creator of the show in the room with you? I don't know if either of you ever really had that experience before. What's that been like? I mean, I assume it's been mostly exciting and wonderful, but I should think it's maybe a little scary, too. Here's the person who actually created this musical sitting right there.
Well, I definitely thought it was scary at first because I had never met her before because I didn't do the production in the beginning. And I was really scared, actually, that she was going to, like, yell at me and stuff. But she's, like, the nicest lady I've ever met. And you are. And she definitely works with you. And if you feel that something's wrong, she will change it for you because she wants us to feel so comfortable with it. And we have changes made every single day because she's just there for us and ready to help us with whatever we need.
Excellent. So that actually says a lot, too, about what kind of a creative artist you are, because certain people would come in and say, nope, I wrote it this way. You need to sing that high note, or this song needs to go there. And it sounds like you like to think of this as a work still in progress.
Yes. If I wanted to write something that would be all my way, I would write a novel.
Mm.
This is theater, and it's live, and it's co-creation, and it changes every time depending on who's co-creating with you.
I like
that. And that includes the audience, too. It changes every night. It'll be different Wednesday than it is Thursday.
Hmm. Colin, what about you? What kind of experience has it been working with Sherry Steinkellner as your director?
It's been great, but I never really had that moment of fear from Sherry because I got slowly introduced to her. The first time she came at the end and was like, hey guys, this was my show, and we got to talk to her for a little, and then the next time she came for a little bit longer, and now she's our full-on director. So I never really got that, hey, I'm your director now kind of thing. But I knew right from the first time that I met her that it would be a fun experience doing this show with and for her, because she has this, like, bubbly kind of energy that you can tell that she's not going to just come in and say, like, this is my show, we're going to do this. Like we said, it's always, like she likes to say, it's a work happening on its feet. So we'll be doing a scene, and someone will raise their hand and be like, what if we do this for blocking? And then we'll do this for blocking, and the scene just totally changes. The mood changes, and then based on that, we're like, oh, I guess we have to change the lines now. And then over the course of 30 minutes, this one scene has become completely different. And it helps build the entire show up. And it's really nice that she's willing to work with us on that. If we're stumbling on a line, she'll say, well, what do you think would feel comfortable for you? and she'll help find a line that's clear to the audience but still fits with the actor. And I think it's cool that she thinks about the actors a lot too and not just about the show.
Mm. So that's great. I'm reminded of one of my favorite quotes, although I don't know who said this. Music is art. The paint is never dry. And it sounds like, particularly in this particular show, Hello My Baby, the paint is never dry. And you're always reworking. It's always a bit new.
You know, I hadn't realized before that saying, just do it my way, was an option. Now I think I'm going to change my whole M.O. starting today.
So we should talk for a moment about Lincoln. And I assume you're going with them to Lincoln, Nebraska?
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah.
That's liftoff.
Right. You've been to that event before?
A couple of years ago, I taught workshops there. Yeah.
Very good. Colin, I know you've been there, I think, to Lincoln. Just say a word about what that experience... And Haley, I don't know if you've been there.
Yeah, I went
okay.
last year.
What's the experience like?
Well, it's like 8 shows perform at the Lead Center at the University of Nebraska Wesleyan. It's this giant auditorium. It's a beautiful theater. It fits about 2,500 kids, and it's not like at home where you're performing for your family and they're going to love you because they're your family. It's your harshest audience, but at the same time, it is the best audience you will ever have because they all do what you do. It's a room full of theater kids, right. And they eat it up. They love it. It's like performing musicals at a rock concert.
Mm.
They'll scream when you hit a high note. They'll all go when something major happens that they didn't see coming. It's the best audience you will ever perform for, probably ever. I don't know what it's like professionally, but
oh no, it's the best.
Okay.
Hey, you agree, Haley?
Yes, definitely. It is. I remember walking out the very first time last year on that stage and like not even be able to breathe because I was so like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. And the audience definitely shows you that like they appreciate you and they're always there every step of the way throughout your show, ready to like encourage you. Hmm. It's awesome.
I remember playing Kenosha's production of Aida in Lincoln a few years back now, and I happened to be seated with my back to the stage, so I never saw anything that happened on the stage. I was pointed straight at the conductor, Brad Mann. But that also allowed me to see the front row of the audience hanging over the edge of the orchestra pit, just drinking in every moment and going crazy with appreciation at the really wonderful moments. I think you're right, Colin, that it is a very special group for whom to perform, and what a privilege. Sherry Steinkellner, people are going to know these songs. I mean, particularly people of a certain age for whom this is very comfortable, familiar territory. But I know that, at least to some extent, you've done a bit of embellishing with new lyrics and so on. Just say a word about the kind of refurbishment that has happened with these venerable old songs. I mean, am I remembering that correctly?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've tried to add the new lyrics seamlessly so that you don't know where the original lyric from 1899 and the new lyric from 2015 meet up, because I wanted to tell this story through song. Typically in a jukebox musical like Mamma Mia or some others like that, you'll just drop the song in with the original lyric as it was, and you'll tell the story around it. But I like telling the story through the song, and so these new words help us do that. Hmm. I wanted to mention one thing, because you mentioned that people are going to know the songs. We added a sing-along at the very end, which we have done in Kenosha before. When we did it at the Village Theater, which you mentioned earlier, we used to not have a sing-along at the end of the show. And I was in the ladies' room after the performance, and there were two women, each in separate stalls, singing the title tune. And I thought, gee, they shouldn't have to wait till they go to the bathroom. We'll just build that into the show.
Oh, what a great idea. I wanted to mention also that although Kenosha Unified always puts on spectacular shows visually, that this is one of the most beautiful-looking productions I remember seeing. I just love the way this production looks. Are you happy with that as well?
Absolutely. Well, Jody Williams just did a spectacular job designing a set that gives you the feel of stepping back in time, of really actually being part of the world of old New York, at the same time is so bright and vivid, and it's just eye candy is what it is. It's wonderful to look at, and I adore it.
Absolutely. So the performances are tomorrow night and Thursday night at Indian Trails High School, and then The Little Mermaid, which is the companion production, is being performed. That would be Friday night and Saturday night, and then that's at
Bradford.
And that's at Bradford High School. And then when is the departure for Nebraska?
Sunday?
Monday morning at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's Monday.
1 a.m., I've been told. Is that right? So a long, long trip, but it's going to be well worth it. Sherry Steinkellner, I know we have to let you go pretty quick here for rehearsal. I just want to ask you a couple real quick questions. You and your husband, Bill, you are creative partners to a large extent. You met in a group called The Groundlings.
Yes.
Say a word about what The Groundlings are.
The Groundlings is an improvisational theater company in Los Angeles. Probably half the people that you recognize from Saturday Night Live come out of The Groundlings or have been through The Groundlings in one way or another, including Melissa McCarthy and Will Ferrell and all kinds of great, wonderful people. And it's improv. We've been doing it since the 70s, and now some of the people we improvise with are in their 70s. And we just play. We get together and make stuff up.
And you're speaking in present tense. Are you still at all a part of that?
Oh, yes. These are my friends. This is my family.
Very good. I know you also teach. I believe you teach at Stanford University. Writing.
I teach writing at Stanford and at UCSB, yes.
And I assume we're talking about teaching the kind of writing that you do professionally, that is, writing in these kind of venues, writing show. I assume it's not writing in the sense of writing novels, for instance, or that, or is it?
It's actually it's storytelling and self-expression with a really playful attitude. I've met too many people who said, oh, I can't do what you do. And I said, sure you can. Come on, I'll show you. And that's pretty much what my writing classes are. I call it play/writing. We're playing and we're writing.
We're right on the heels of what has been regarded as, at least commercially, one of the most successful seasons on Broadway ever. In terms of total receipts and so on. What is your assessment of the state of things on Broadway at the moment, particularly in the realm of musicals?
I think there's only one thing missing. The only thing they're missing is Hello, My Baby.
That's the missing ingredient. Well, they should certainly come to Kenosha and see what all the fuss is about, that's for sure. These performances are coming up tomorrow night and Thursday night, as we said, Little Mermaid, Friday night and Saturday night, and then off to Nebraska for what I'm sure will be a spectacular a set of performances there as well. We're going to actually go out by listening to a little bit of I'll Build a Stairway to Paradise, which comes from An American in Paris. This is the performance that Colin enjoyed listening to, and it's one of the songs that you get to sing in this particular show. In the meantime, Haley Wolf and Colin Robertson, great to have you here. And Sherry Steinkellner, a great pleasure and honor to meet you today. And thank you for coming to Kenosha again and for coming to the morning show to share your energy and love of theater so generously. Great to have you here, and best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Paris, c'est Montmartre, c'est Robinson.
Ici Henri.
C'est le jour qui s'éveille comme un pinson.
Allô, mon vieux.
Ah, l'amour est là dans mon cœur. Ah, quel grand bonheur. C'est le.
Johnny, comment ça va? How are you? Excusez-moi, mesdames et messieurs, c'est un vieil ami américain.
It's madness to be always sitting around in sadness. Oh, when you could be learning the steps of gladness. You'll be happy when you can do just 6 or 7. Begin today, you'll find it nice. The quickest way to paradise. When you practice, here's the thing to do. Simply say as you go. I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day.
I'm going to get there at any price. Stand aside, I'm on my way. I've got the blues, sad up above, it's all fair. Shoes, gold, and carry me there. I'll build a stairway to paradise. With the new step every day. I'll build a stairway to paradise. With the new step every day. I'm going to get there at any price. Stand aside, I'm on my way. I've got the blues, and up above it's all fair. Shoes, gone and carry me there. I'll build a stairway to paradise. With the new step every day. With the new step every
The time is 8:54 here on WGTD. Let's tell you about some of the excitement that's going to be coming up on our next few morning shows here on WGTD. Tomorrow on the program, I look forward to welcoming two of my faculty colleagues from Carthage College, but not to talk about their respective academic disciplines. John Bruning from the Communications Department and Steve Udry from the History Department will be here, but to talk about soccer. They are both outstanding former soccer players and still soccer aficionados, and so they are following the Women's World Cup competition currently underway, and they are also following the controversies which are dogging the international governing group of professional soccer, FIFA, and so we will get their analysis as well of that. Really unseemly situation. That's on tomorrow's morning show, a conversation I'm really looking forward to. On Thursday's morning show, I'll be speaking with two different authors. One of them is William Cohen, and you may recognize that name as the former Secretary of Defense for the United States under President Bill Clinton. And he has essentially left public life now and is devoting his time to writing. And he is a professional best-selling author with several different novels to his credit. The most recent, a very intriguing thriller called Collision, which is built upon the unsettling premise of space exploration, in a sense, being usurped by commercial interests. And the idea of mining asteroids for valuable minerals becomes actually a very, very dangerous proposition indeed when some of that activity potentially leads to the destruction of our own planet. Again, the thriller is called Collision, and you'll hear my conversation with former Defense Secretary William Cohen on Thursday. We do spend a couple of minutes talking about politics as well. Also on Thursday, Lisa Selig, the author of a book called Insight Out, in which she explores the creative process. She helps us distinguish between terms which we tend to use in rather sloppy fashion interchangeably, words like creativity, imagination, innovation. She really tries to take those terms apart, help us understand them very specifically, and then apply them to the entrepreneurial process. So we'll hear that conversation as well on Thursday. On Friday, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, joins us for his monthly visit to the program. Next week, some very interesting programs, including on Monday morning, a preview of the season opener for the PBS series POV, or Point of View. This is a series devoted to independently produced documentaries. And this first program in this new season of documentaries follows a notorious case in Detroit, Michigan, of several African-American women who were unjustly charged with assault and battery on a man. They were acting in self-defense, But somehow the story got turned around in a most unfortunate way. And this documentary follows their long, arduous path through the criminal justice system. We'll speak on Tuesday with local cartoonist John Hambrock, responsible for the marvelous comic strip, The Brilliant Mind of Edison Lee. John Hambrock is just back from a major cartoonist's event, and it's always great to talk with John Hambrock. And next Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be sharing with you a conversation I recently recorded with a former Racinian by the name of David Rozell, who spent most of his childhood in an orphanage on the south side of Racine, the Taylor home. That building no longer exists, nor does the institution, but it lives on in this memoir. And Mr. Rozell looks back with great fondness and appreciation at the years which he spent at the Taylor orphanage or children's home. And it's a very intriguing look back at an experience that most of us can scarcely imagine. And I'm excited to share that interview with you beginning on Wednesday and continuing on Thursday. The morning show airs every weekday morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived on our website, wgtd.org. Click on Talk. Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. WGTD is also supported by Carthage College, dedicated to combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation, designed to allow students to uncover and ignite their potential. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities at carthage.edu. Sunny and pleasant conditions today with a high of 73 degrees. Inland, it will be a little cooler near the lake. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 53 degrees. Tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny, a 30% chance of rain, a high of 75 degrees, a little bit cooler near the lake. We're hoping that that means that we will have nice weather for the first performance of the Kenosha Pops concert.